My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
It's going to be a big day, Judy. We're making stars today.
We are star makers. I'm very excited about our guest today. And also our guest in the booth is our long lost producer and engineer to the stars, Jack Inslee.
Good to have you back, Jack. Whoa. Whoa, where are you? In the CBS FM Hall of Fame back
That's
there?
Where I broadcast from now, yep.
I thought that was Norman Knight I saw in the hallway before. Well, we really are going to make a star. Our guest today is our usual engineer, Joe Galarraga, and we're going to talk about his band Big Ups. And our other VIP here today is my good friend Jesse Cannon, whose new book, Get More Fans, The DIY Guide to the New Music Business. And this thing is a fucking brick. I mean, this is like unbelievable. And
that's like David Foster Wallace.
It's true. This is the infinite jest of like music business.
Just with a little bit easier of a plot to digest.
It is easy to digest. And, you know, the irony here, of course, is that so much of this book is about social media and online stuff, and yet here is a paper and ink product, old school. How's it going, man? How's it going with the book?
It's going great. Well, one of the reasons it's paper and ink is because one of the things I endorse is that you should be on every single format, because some people like me, and probably a lot of the listeners still like to pick up paper, but it's in every format because you should be in every format with your music as well.
Do you use your iPad in the bathroom? Does anybody else read their iPad
in the bathroom?
Do you watch porn on it?
Truth be told, the problem is there's no good like porn sites. Not everything's HTML5. It's all on Flash.
Well, I can tell you which ones are. What are you laughing at, McGuire?
Just, you know, we go from making our friend a star to reading our porny iPad on the toilet.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned recording bands for 14 years, though, every band, whether in the studio, will discuss, I don't care, the most uptight, pretentious indie rocker will still discuss porn through half their recording.
Okay.
I don't have an iPad yet. This is why
you're good at music, though, is you're paying attention to nothing else but your music, because you can't pay attention to anything, because that's a flip phone.
Right? Yeah, by the way, I'm holding up an old LG chocolate phone from about 2004, I think.
So. Wow, I thought the kids all had the high tech.
I'm embarrassed.
Tell Jack to give me a raise.
You know, it's like the other night I was watching, everybody saw Chris Hadley, the astronaut, doing Space Oddity.
Yes.
From.
Yes.
I mean, how great was that, right?
That was awesome.
Okay? And then he was quickly forgotten about. He landed the next day, you know,
which
wasn't even in the paper. You think this guy did this great thing? Well, I watched it on the NASA television station. By the way, there's a great NASA app for your iPhone and iPad. And you'd see everything that's happening in NASA. You could see all the live pictures from Mars.
But can you jerk off to it?
Well, it depends on what's happening on Mars on any given day. But that's your tax dollars at work. But the thing landed, and the Soyuz technology, because don't forget, we can the space shuttle program. And for the first time ever, I started missing that thing. You know, we retired it.
I did not realize that.
Do you see them flying around to be put in museums? It's a fucking museum piece. The space shuttle sucked anyway, you know? It was like the station wagon of its era. It didn't fly well. It blew up far too fucking often for anybody's comfort. But the Soyuz thing is like, it's this big hunk of metal. It looks like a Tonka truck, and it lands hard. And just to watch it, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, with a parachute. I mean, it landed in a field in Kazakhstan. Hadfield's a Canadian.
In Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
So my joke was, pass the dust, I think I'm Borat. Did I get that? Didn't anybody have that record, Pass the Dust, I think I'm Bowie by Black Randy and the Metro Squad?
No.
Bunch of fucking squares. Okay, so back to Joe, we're making him famous.
Okay, yes. Let's do this.
What's the first step? Is get a smartphone, right?
Well, truth be told, a lot of the work you're going to have to do is on the internet, even if that's a really boring thing, and we all hear about social media all the time. You do have to do a lot of work on the internet, which is nice, though, because you could do this in a tour van, sitting in your bed when you're having a one-night stand, and she won't leave your bed, and you're like,
Joe,
oh, I'm sitting here waiting.
He doesn't cheat.
Well,
I'm very loyal.
Anything about groupies in this book?
There actually is a whole part where I talk about how much being a good house guest on tour can help promote your band, because if there's anything I've seen, you stay with the people who leave you on tour. Those are also the biggest loudmouths in every scene who spread your word. So if you leave a dirty dish, they tell everybody what an asshole you were. And if you're great, they tell everybody how great you were.
And if you leave a dirty whore behind, it's even worse.
But usually,
or better.
Let's be honest. Dirty whore gets to go to the next stop on tour. Let's be honest here.
I tell you, back in the day, before the internet, it was a lot easier to make girlfriends in town to town.
You know,
because you know, it wasn't like, oh, I looked at your schedule, I know where you're going to be, and you know, I'm going to email you. I
looked
leave
at your Facebook, and I saw that you have a girlfriend.
Yes,
I mean, I would leave Berlin with like some girl's like address written on like a pack of rolling papers. And, okay, and that was what our future contact was based on. Mm-hmm. Me getting this pack of rolling papers back to America and writing her a letter and going to the post office and putting stamps on it and then waiting for a return. It was like some like Victorian era romance, just to hook up with some girl, you know, that I met, you know, met like some punk rock dive.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, since the internet flattens the world, we all know musicians. Like, one of the jokes I have is that, you know, living in Brooklyn for years, it's like 14 years ago when I would tell girls I was an audio engineer, they'd be like, ooh, wow. But now, you know, Joe just said everybody in his band does audio engineering. The problem is they've met 12 of them that are broke that they've had to keep on their couch for years. So that line doesn't work so well for me. And, you know, I had to become an author now to have a little bit more of a social
commodity.
Yeah, because
writers get a ton of tabs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Fighting it off.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I put out my first book I got, it was nice for the attention I got because it turns out every asshole has a band. But I was the only asshole with a book.
Oh yeah.
You know, in this group of morons. So Joe, tell us about the big ups and tell us where you are and where you want to go, and then Dr. Jesse's gonna sort it out and make you a star.
Okay, so big ups, we've been playing for about, we started like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're actually, because I'm a nerd and I keep up with all this stuff, we're about to play our 100th show.
Yeah.
In 3 years. So I keep track of like all the bands that we've played with.
Where
blah,
will that
blah.
Be in case people want to come?
That's going to be at Big Snow Buffalo Lodge, which is on Verrett Street.
Oh, okay.
It's right around the corner from Roberta. So if you're within you know, our internet airwaves, you know how to get there. So that's our 100th show, and we're just trying to, you know, we basically just want to go on tour more and like see the world and play as much as we can and be able to survive from playing shows.
And quit this place.
Yeah, get out of here. Okay. Just kidding, Jack. Hey, Jack.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
No, come on. You know I wouldn't.
Okay, Jesse, give him the reality check. Knock those rose-colored glasses off of his face.
Please do.
Give him the hard, cold truth about this unforgiving bitch goddess that is show business.
Well, it is a brutal business. I guess the first thing I'd ask, are you guys giving away free music?
Oh boy, see, this is how bad I am. I don't even know. We have our stuff on Bandcamp,
okay,
and I'm pretty sure that it's like if you buy our actual record, you get the download code.
Yes.
To download it on Bandcamp.
So the first thing I would be saying is that if you're a group who does not feel that their fan base has been established, you want to be giving away. I mean, even if you are established, like if you're even the Black Keys, who were, you know, the only rock band last year to get a platinum record, yeah. You should have free music that allows people to be a gateway into your music. There's so many people vying for attention. If you put a paywall before they can decide if they want to ingest you in the format they like, you're going to have a little bit more trouble building a fan base. But what you should be exchanging for that is an email address or a tweet or a Facebook like, so the word is being spread about your music.
Okay.
The second thing I would say is, as you know, I never wanted to do this when I was a band, but having a mailing list at your shows is really, really important. Because
really,
email,
really.
Well, you know, the thing is as somebody who sits with boring data, you send out an email, you get sometimes a 20% response to it. You send out a tweet or a Facebook, if you get 5%, you really did great. So
right, okay. It's more personal, perhaps?
Yeah, and yeah. Well, also the people who let you into their email box, that's an intimate place, whereas your Facebook, that's where just everybody's showing you their cat and
Nothing wrong with that, Jesse.
No, I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot. You're auditioning for BuzzFeed as the cat editor.
Some bitch got that job.
our cats are all internet whores, and we empower them.
Everybody likes looking at pussy on the internet. Come on.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a listen to Big Ups?
Yes.
All right? Let the world at large hear it. We've heard it before in the Mike and Judy Show. What are we about to hear?
This is called Fresh Meat by Big Ups.
Fresh Meat, Big Ups. Here we go. That's not music, that's noise. Hey, you kids, get off of my lawn!
You just channeled your mommy, didn't you?
It's true. I was trying to think what my mom would say if she heard that.
Michael.
Well, you know, my dad saw my band, my early band, Sharky's Machine, once. And, you know, Sharky's Machine we did okay. We put out a couple decent records, went to Europe a few times. Had a pretty decent following back in the late 80s. My father saw the band once, and he said, unambiguously, without equivocation, I've seen your band, I've seen the way you handle your gear, and quite frankly, I don't call it music.
And my mom actually really likes it, surprisingly. I mean, I think
your mom's probably, 35?
No. But she did say, because one time I was like, you know, I like to listen to demos of stuff that we've recorded while in the car. Mm-hmm. So I was back in Maryland, which is where I'm from, and I'm driving around in the car because I like to see how it sounds on the car stereo system. And I left it in my mom's station wagon, and she was like, Joe, this is great, but I remember your last music, you didn't say fuck as much as you do in this band. And I was like, well, mom, got a lot of anger.
So you were down at South by Southwest with Big Ups, right?
Yes, we were.
And how'd that work out for you guys? Get any pop from that?
Yeah, we did. We got a lot of good press from that, and we had a great time, and it was like, it's like band vacation. Everybody's band is down there at the same time, and everyone's like, oh, it's, you know, 80 degrees, and we're all from New York or Chicago or wherever, and so everyone's like swimming and walking around half naked.
What do you think about South by Southwest, Jesse? I mean, does it work?
This is what I'll say is, if you can make an event and you have a good buzz, but it's just the same. Like, in New York, we all know the scam of CMJ. Let's be honest, CMJ and South by Southwest are essentially the same thing. Right. And we know that if you're not playing a show where there's a band with a big buzz, you're going to be playing to 8 people. And at South by Southwest, you may play to 8 people 4 times because everybody finds some way to play on a quarter or the back of a truck lift or whatever these days. But I don't think it's always worth it to make the trip if you're not going to have a good buzz going before that.
Yeah, I mean, looking from a distance, I've been to South by Southwest, and honestly, I didn't really enjoy it, to be honest with you. It was just too much happening, too many, you know, kids just sort of wandering around.
I'm right
around,
there with you.
You know, college radio junkets.
And yeah, but you guys are old. Young Joe, I'm sure this is very
exciting. I am old. There's no question about it. I'm old and jaded motherfucker.
I have mixed opinions about it as well, because, you know, part of it is like, yeah, you can go and see some really great bands. The weather's nice, but then it's like also like, oh, I got to go to the Geico Moonbounce tent to go see my favorite band play. And, oh, here's a free pair of sunglasses that says, like, suck Nike's dick on the side of it and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, when the Stooges are the big band, I mean, what is that really saying to something that's supposed to be celebrating independent music?
Well, you know? Actually, the Stooges aren't an independent label now, even if it's just...
Of sorts. I think their reputation is pretty well secured.
Yeah. I think
that young upstart Iggy Pop. I think he's got a future that day.
future and scaring kids and what your stomach can look like when you get older. But I think that the biggest thing is that everybody thinks they're bad is going to be the one. We all feel special because our moms sometimes tell us we're special and stuff like all that. But
you guys have nice moms.
It's just true. Such a nice mother. But the reality is one of the things that I talk about in this book is no one's ever going to care about your band as much as you do. So you got to put a lot of work into it to get other people motivated by it. But there's also a reality of that you have to make people care and do something eventful around it. So,
like what? Like a feud?
Well,
like a feud with a West Coast band?
That's gratuitous. I think that there's other ways to do it. Like the biggest thing I say
work
is
for Dr. Dre.
Build community. Play with like-minded people. I think one of the biggest mistakes bands make is you play with a hip-hop and a metal band when you're a punk band. Who wants to sit through that? Because most people have narrow tastes.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
Is it still like that? I thought we had sort of come to this place where things were a little bit more ecumenical, meaning that if there was a hip-hop band, it wouldn't be that weird to have a metal or a punk rock band on the bill because it's all kind of hard and heavy. And at this point, it's come together. Hard rock bands do ballads now.
Yes, but I think there is a thing of that. So, for example, I think that there is a way to play with like-minded people. If you're a punk band playing with a band that's... There's tons of dance bands with a punk ethic these days, and just because you have synthesizers doesn't mean this or that, but I think there's also times when you're playing with people who totally don't get each other. You go to, a Rockwood Music Hall. There's still these venues in New York that just are like, here's five bands, let's hope they draw, and they throw it at the wall, and that's a waste of a band's time is to play those shows, because you're not going to play to people who are going to be sympathetic to your music, most likely. But if you play in a cool scene, like what happens around these parts in Bushwick, there's odds are that you're going to play a good
show. A scene can't really be undervalued. Frankly, I don't trust them. The same way I don't trust cliques in high school. But there's something to be said for it, for sure. So which bands would you like to play? What bands do you think would be homogenous and advantageous for you to for big ups to play with?
We have some things coming up. Right now, we play with pretty much a lot of the bands in New York City, that are sort of part of this, North Brooklyn play in a dingy warehouse thing. So I think more than anything, I want to play with bands that aren't from here. So when they come to town, be open up for those bands, because that'd be beneficial. If we go on tour, we get to play with this awesome band in Chicago that has an awesome following. So we get to go out and meet new people and all that. So I don't know. There's lots of bands from Baltimore that I really like because it's where I grew up, and they have a really strong music scene, and that was kind of what inspired me to make music in the first place. So I'm always looking and seeing what's going on down there. So there's a band called Dope Body that's really awesome. A band called Room Runner that we've played with before and that I really look up to. So.
Yeah. And one thing I like too about the book, Jesse, is you talk about the live show a lot, and there's a time when looking at the live show, bands have gotten so fucking boring. There's all this there's actually a genre called shoegazing. Yes. Okay, it's a genre to somehow prop up the worst quality a band could possibly fucking have. And I remember at a time when our friends the John Spencer Blues Explosion weren't even considered serious because they had a live show, because John is such a great entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, it couldn't be as valid as say Sonic Youth or Pavement, who didn't put it over the top.
Well, we're always going to have movements in music. And what I think what's great about today is that every movement is in style today, maybe except ska. But everything, it's kind of dead. You have to be something exceptional, though. Since everything is popular now, and really what you see throughout record sales, the reason only one rock band went platinum last year isn't because the music industry is dead. It's that it's so easy to find a tiny little thing that you like, and all the bands get pushed up a little bit more now. You have to be doing whatever you do exceptionally and do something. If you're going to be a shoegaze band, the best thing about My Buddy Valentine, who are the epitome of shoegaze band, is they go and rent an extra part of the PA so they sonically destroy your ears. And everybody I know who went to those shows at Roseland said that was the loudest show I saw. So at least they did something exceptional while they sat there looking at their shoes.
Well, that's their gimmick.
Yes.
If you will. I mean, they are.
Well, it's not a gimmick.
Fucking. Well, that's
their sound,
part,
baby.
Well, it's just sound, okay. But, all right. I'm a little cynical, but I do watch a lot of professional wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Obviously they are fucking loud.
Yeah.
And loud is great. Loud moves air.
Yes.
And there's definitely a huge psychoacoustic, it's like a drug.
Yeah.
Bass is like a drug.
Totally.
Yeah.
What about videos? I saw a video, I hardly ever watch them anymore, but I saw a video by Matt and Kim this morning. And it made me really want to know more about their band and stuff. And
that's what a video should do.
Yeah.
Well, you think of it this way. By quadruple now, the number, according to a Nielsen survey, the number one way people discover new music is YouTube. So if you're not concentrating on YouTube and making a YouTube for every single thing you do, and I'm talking like even three, like you should have a live video, some sort of music video that represents and makes people more interested in you. That's all that really matters. Because, like, honestly, one person's viral video is really, like, you know, for a band like Big Ups, I would never say, like, why are you guys trying to make this cool viral video where you, you know, have some cats dancing or whatever? Like,
you guys
aren't that bad, but making something that invites more mystery about the band. Like, honestly, like, I haven't seen you live, but you sound like you're a really dynamic frontman probably showing
your
live show.
He's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Showing what you guys have and the energy you guys put out, I think, is a great way to invite more mystery. So what made you want to know more about Matt and Kim from that video?
Well, they're in bed, and they dance in bed, and it's like they're pretend sleeping the whole time. It was really okay. It was cute, but
is there a cat?
There was no cat, but it was really cute. And they're like a good looking couple. Mm-hmm. The song is catchy. It's not like my kind of music normally, but I was like, oh, this is adorable. And yeah, like if you know, you're a good looking bunch of guys, you have to like put your faces out there while they're still pretty.
Yeah.
So what do you got happening on YouTube? Tell us. Big Ups on YouTube. What do you got? What do you got?
Nothing. I think that this is something that bands sort of have to think about now, but Big Ups is the least Googleable name ever. You type that into Google and nothing comes up. And we just don't. And part of it is the fact that we just spent some time recording. We don't have that much money to like make a music video. It is something that we want to do in theory.
Your notebook? Where are your notes? You're going to have to like play this.
Well,
back
I can just download this MP3 off heritageradionetwork.org.
I should probably play the first thing that comes up on YouTube when you search Big Ups.
Oh, please don't. Yeah,
this is
us.
True. This is true. This is actually what comes up when I search Big Ups on YouTube.
So basically, join your Fox. Let's get you Googleable. Jesse, how do we get the Big Ups Googleable in a positive way?
I actually think you're wrong about how hard it would be to get Big Ups up there. If you want to get nerdy for a second, bigupsmusic.com, you own that. You're probably already going to go up high on Google. But I actually don't think that it's going to be the end of the world. Like, if your band's name is Camden, for example, you're never going to beat... You know, articles about the horrible city.
The murder capital of the world.
Yeah, exactly. One of the scariest places I've ever been. But I think you could easily do it. And just because you don't have money for a video doesn't mean that you can't make those single-frame YouTube videos. Even that is good enough to just start getting people hearing your band. And a lot of the blogs, you know, we all know music is blogged about, and that's how we discover it. How I discover music is because I pay attention to a few blogs, and I trust them.
Yeah.
And a lot of blogs want to post a YouTube video, even if it's just a single frame or a picture, and that can be done by simply going to a website or just opening your Mac.
All right, number one, need Big Ups video.
Yes.
Yes.
Needbigups.com.
Right? Do not have the domain.
$5.
Okay.
$5.
Jack, pull up GoDaddy right now.
No, don't use GoDaddy.
Oh, okay. What should we use?
1&1.com. GoDaddy is a scam, and when your domain lapses, they try to sell it back to you at an auction rate.
Whoa. I just fought with them about that. Yeah.
It's awful. It's really awful that they do that. They're a disgusting company.
Yeah.
And they're right-wing pigs, and I hate that.
Okay. So now you've got a video. Now you've got a website.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's next?
Mailing list.
Giving away free music, having a free music page that not only has new music for new fans to discover, but your present fans, you should be feeding them music from time to time, or at least something interesting to them, whether it's live, a new B-side, a demo, whatever.
Okay. I think this is very important. Giving away music has become the norm, and I think it's actually probably a positive thing. There's always attitude, you know, you got to pay for it, you got to pay for it. I'm not talking about pirating music. That's different. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about stealing somebody's record, but I think by putting it out there, because, I mean, and the paradigm has changed, time has changed.
Yes.
That's why people do get music, is I want people to hear my record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to put out a new Mike Edison Rocket Train record in the fall, and I'm already thinking about where I'm going to make it available, at least for a period of time, where people could get the whole record downloaded, not even streamed,
you know,
for free, you know, just to get them into it, because the truth is, I'm never going to make my money selling that CD. I'm going to make my money by having people come in the door. It's going going to enhance my reputation.
Yes.
And it's going to turn into bigger things. I got to parlay, you know, and I understand CDs are going the way of the dodo bird, too.
The
right?
CDs were pretty much Best Buy just cut down their shelves 25% again, which basically means that there's just about no chain left that sells CDs, which is good because that makes. The more we get away from that, the more less major labels have power, and major labels are what polluted our music discovery in the first place. But what I would say, back to the free music thing, is it shouldn't totally be free. You should be trading an email, Facebook, or a tweet for it. That's what you're getting exchanges. You're getting a way to stay in contact with these people or have them help spread your message by tweeting about it or Facebook like it, that it comes up in your friend stream. And, oh, Mike likes, big ups. Maybe I should hear them. I trust Mike's taste.
We used to say back in the early days of internet marketing that when you asked someone to opt into something, there had to be a clear and obvious benefit or reward.
Yes.
Okay? It had to be some sort of exchange. It wasn't just me giving it to you. You had to give me something. But you had to feel like you were getting something valuable. I mean, the rule of the game for me was always you try to stuff a dime bag's worth of weed into a nickel bag.
That's true. It's
you can take the boy out of high times, but you can't take the high times out of the boy.
But that's it. You know, I mean, another story. The beer metaphor is this fellow Fritz Maytag was the brewmaster at Anchor Steam Beer, and I used to be a journalist reporting on beer. And he said he loved the beer business, and they had a very good product that was very famous. That's but true. He said every day I wake up and try to find a new way to put something even more wonderful in that bottle. And that was his attitude, you know, and I love that.
I was in San Francisco last week. I've never seen a small beer more ubiquitous in a city in my life. Like, it's worse than
Brooklyn?
I think that I saw Anchor Steam. Put it this way. When I opened the hotel fridge, it was filled with Anchor Steam.
Budweiser is highly identified with my shower.
I heard that. Is that your hangover tip is to drink the Budweiser in a cold shower?
That's your problem, Joe. And
that's what I should have done this
morning. You guys aren't drinking enough beer in the shower.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that works.
I have to tell you, that was a tip you gave me years ago, and I followed that tip, and it really does work great.
Another satisfied customer.
I'm still
Dr. Edison.
Still rejecting
another satisfied
it.
Customer. I like in the chapter in the book here, sort of about kind of not being fucked up when you play.
Well, what I more say is that just because you're playing a show to eight people does not mean that's the time to experiment with how many Jaeger bombs you can do before a show. Because playing an intimate show can be one of the most powerful moments. I don't know about you guys, but like, growing up on punk, some of the best shows I ever saw were to very small audiences. And if you make a big impression on a small audience and really go all out to still play one, now sometimes being fucked up, I mean, obviously Replacements are like one of my favorite bands of all time. They weren't exactly sober for a lot of those performances. That's what we all enjoyed. Same with the Dwarves, another of my favorite bands, but...
Well, when you're playing a 15-minute dwarf set,
yeah.
That sort of thing, it could work to your favor. I'll be honest, I'm probably, you know, the 900 gigs I played in my life with various bands, all over the world. I think twice I was kind of too drunk to play, and I still regret those two times.
Yeah,
because I consider it unprofessional. It's not the way I do drink. I drink before I get on stage. I have a few drinks, and I drink while I'm on stage. But you know, I'm never too drunk to drive.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm into it. I'm in the moment. But there were twice. Once I was back on the drums with the Pleasure Fuckers, and once I was doing a solo show in France, and the guy who owned the Maison that we ate at just kept giving me his homemade Calvados. Have some more. Have some more. Have some more. And I put on a lackluster performance for a room full of people. And you know, that was 4 years ago, and I still regret it. To be honest with you, it's just not fucking professional.
Well, one of the stories I have is that like my old band was playing a show, and we played to eight people, but because we played to the sister of an A&R man, we're all of a sudden getting a call from a label we really, really wanted to be signed to, and you know, had we not broken up and disbanded, it was going very well, and that was all because his sister calls him up and says, I just saw the greatest band I've ever seen in my life, and there's only eight people there.
It happens. So, as we wrap it up, does Joe need a label? Should be looking for a big label. What's the best road to hoe these days?
Labels are fine, as long as you don't get involved with it so early that they're going to put a paywall before you even have a fan base. A lot of bands get held back. While labels curation can help you, you need to have some gateway to it. Some labels are great, but you have to get into the right situation for your band. The curation of a label, I'm sure we all have certain labels we trust. I trust, for example, Run for Cover Records. It's a really diverse label that always puts out great music to me. When I was young, Gern Blanston, everything they put out, whether it was hip-hop or indie or punk, I always loved. But there's also a lot of labels that don't have that trust, and it's kind of a waste of time when you could be doing this all yourself. Because honestly, labels don't offer much more than a credit card does these days.
Do you feel like you learned anything today? Oh, young man.
I should have brought my notebook.
Well, we're going to leave you with a copy of The Home Game. We're going to give you a copy of Get More Fans
by
Jesse Cannon and Todd Thomas, your co-writer, should get credit. The DIY Guide to the New Music Business. Here you go, son. Go forth prosper. Jesse, where can we find you on the internet? I bet. Let me guess. There's a website. There's a Facebook site. There's a Twitter site. Bandcamp. Where else can we find you?
It's all linked at getmorefansbook.com.
GetMoreFansBook.com. Actually, I think Mike and Judy need to take a stroll through Get More Fans.
Yeah, we might need to borrow that book when you're done, Joe.
And hey. The Big Ups, Joe, come on, give us a hint. Where can we hear you?
Okay, go to bigups.bandcamp.com. We have a couple shows coming up. Like I said, the one at Big Snow Buffalo Lodge, and then June 16th at Shea Stadium with Destruction Unit, New Sensei, Psychic Blood for Northside Festival. So that'll be a good one.
Nice.
Is that the Shea Stadium? The Shea Stadium?
Not the one
Shea Stadium. Mm-hmm. The Citibank Field now. God, I'm sorry. Yeah. Jeez Louise. All right. It's for Judy and Mike, for Jesse and Joe, and Jack Insley, superstar producer to the stars. We'll see you guys next week.
Listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.